Stretch out your hands. Stretch out. I see you at home. Stretch out your hands so we can reach each other's hearts. Stretch out your hands so we can help lift up those beside us. Stretch out your hands so they can be filled with joy. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online or in the nursery, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC Natick as well as the broader community. And if this is your first time with us today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care, and Sunday school this morning kicks off after we welcome our new members. Ooh, is right. All right, we got some announcements this morning. You with me? We have Family Promise Week coming up. Our week is October 7th. This is when we provide dinners, groceries, and gift cards to families living in shelter. You can see more info in this week's link and see Chris. Did I lose Chris? I lost Chris. And see me after worship, and I'll give you more info. We have the Festival Community Concert coming up what day? October 5th. Great job. Good job reading the slide. 7 p.m. Lane, before worship, I meant to ask you if there's particular help that we need. Lane, is there particular help that we need? Lane can always use help. So, again, see me or Lane. You want to wave your hand if you would like to help with that concert. But the most important thing you can do is come to that concert. All right, Robin and Jeff are going to make their way forward for some tag team announcements that have nothing to do with each other. And while they're coming up, I'm just going to tell you, you don't have to go to this slide yet, but we've got the Lunch Bunch coming up on this Thursday at 12:30.
All right, I'm Robin, first of all. I'm excited to announce that FCC Natick is going to host a trunk or treat during the town's spooktacular event on Saturday, October 26th. So if you're interested in having a trunk to display during this event, please come see me or email me at rclawson@gmail. We would be looking for folks to sign up to decorate their trunks and park
car
in
trunk.
Car trunk. And park in the church parking lot where instead of the front steps, we'll have the kids come explore our trunks and collect some treats and goodies. If you like the idea but don't want to put your car in and you'd like to donate some goods, maybe some nut-free treats or other, you know, little toys and goodies, we'd be happy to receive that as well. So I'm your contact. Find me downstairs or email me anytime. Thanks.
All right, and Jeff Clausen here on the outreach team. And okay, I had a bunch of instructions this morning. One of them was to speak slowly, and the other one from Cindy was to speak briefly. All right, so one thing I wanted to do in the beginning was we had yesterday's Guatemala Partnership yard sale that was at the Needham Congregational Church, and there were a lot of people here who had donated some items to be sold at the yard sale as well as had donated their time, Kirsten in particular in the back. But I just wanted to announce for everyone, Kirsten in the back, we raised $6,650, which is 100% goes to support education and development in Santa Maria Ceja. And I wanted to say, you know, that's one aspect of dealing with the migrant crisis, and now I'm going to pivot to something else. I want to call out, $6,650, but $700 of that was from jewelry. So when we think about donating next year, if you have any costume jewelry or kind of like jewelry to donate, think about it, because it actually sells quite well. And then next Sunday at 5 p.m. here in this space.
What day?
We have a wonderful filmmaker that did a documentary on the migrant crisis called Where Can We Live in Peace? And she traveled with us last year to Santa Maria Teja to show that documentary in that village. And now she's going to be coming here to show that documentary in this church,
slide
in this space.
Mark.
Next slide. There we go. There it is. It's won awards, multiple awards in multiple film festivals. And it really is a small little image or picture into the human nature, the humanity behind people who are trying to make this difficult journey north. And I think it's really timely right now in this current election where people are making these allegations, these unfounded lies around migrants, you know, eating cats and eating dogs, that we really focus on who they are and what they're really struggling on. And this movie and having Judy Jackson here, I think it's a nice platform for our community to discuss it. There's going to be a discussion after the movie with local members from our community who are talking about how we here are trying to respond to the crisis, trying to help individuals who arrive here how to integrate into our community and be a welcoming community. So after the film, the discussion will include folks from the Hartford Street Presbyterian Church talking about what they're doing in this space, as well Rolf Larson, who many of you may know from the Lutheran Church. There will be co-located with that a pictorial display of his photography from the border and the crisis down at the border. So that is going from the yard sale, where we raised $6,650 to support education development in a Central American community to prevent people from needing to travel north. And then some focus on the border crisis, and then also for the people who arrive here, how we can welcome them. It's a wonderful movie, and it will be a wonderful evening. And when is it?
Sunday.
What time?
And it's free and open
all,
so please spread the word.
Oh, yeah, please spread the word. Yes, this is a community event.
This fall at FCC Natick, we are building the beloved community. We will ground ourselves in an image of the world the way God intended it to be. We'll create glimpses of that world when we're together, and we'll grow our capacity for bringing that world to life. For those of us feeling anxious in this election season, may this time together give us strength, hope, and peace. This morning, we're receiving new members into the church. This gives us a chance to think about the challenges of that last word in building the beloved community. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light. Amen."
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone can hear me.
Yes.
Yay. I'm Pam, by the way. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "How good it is when we worship together as one." We've come from different streets, different towns, different states. How good it is when we worship together as one. We've come from different backgrounds, different traditions, different beliefs. How good it is when we worship together as one. We've come from different experiences, different hopes. And now I need to find my place. Thank you. Different expectations. How good it is when we worship together. One. Don't you hate that? God calls us on site or online, not to be the same, but to be together. How good it is when we worship together as one. Our opening hymn is number 7. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit. Our centering prayer begins with a bit of relative silence. In the quiet, breathe in, feeling your connection to this community. Breathe out, feeling your connection to all things. Let us pray. Living God, who is in all and of all and around all, be with us as we seek to be a community. Bless our dreams and affirm our intentions. Help us to be real and vulnerable, finding depth and meaning in our scars and broken places. Bless us as we face and grow through conflict. Help us let go of control and the need to fix one another, and truly respect each other as human beings instead. Be with us as we discover the ache in our own souls. Help us do the work to heal our own hearts so that together we can bring more strength and creativity to caring for all your people and building a world of justice and love, like the world Jesus described when he taught us to pray, saying, O divine parent, giver of life, whose presence is holiness, may our hearts be in you. Transform the world according to your delight, that all earth may become a holy place. Give us each moment that moment's breath. Give us your gift of forgiveness, that receiving it deeply we may give it freely, transform our desires, and truths from evil powers. For all creation and all power and all beauty are yours now and forever. Amen. For generations, people have gathered in this sanctuary, in this room, in our homes. We are part of a line that will continue long after we are gone. May we feel those who have gone before us and those who will come after us as we turn to those who are with us and greet them with a sign of peace. Then we'll join together in our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 133. It's a nice, short, positive psalm that is like psalm famous for speaking about community. The first verse is,
"How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity."
So as we receive new members this morning and talk about the challenges of life in community, this is a perfect lead-in. And for once, I thought scripture that is pretty straightforward. Unity is good. I thought maybe we finally had a week where you wouldn't have to listen to me interrupt the lay reader. But then I remembered that the second and third verses were not going to make any sense at all. So, sorry, Pam. But since it's short, let's let her read the whole thing once, then we'll quickly break it down.
Here are the words of Psalm 133. "How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained the blessing, life forevermore."
Yeah, we start out with unity, and then we're dumping oil on people's heads. So, okay, from the top. One more time, Pam.
"How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity."
Amen? Amen. Yeah, we are on board with that. Okay, now in some translations, the word kindred is replaced with brothers or brothers and sisters or siblings. The Hebrew word really can mean anything from anything like as specific as sibling or as general as human family. Pam, you come from a big family. Would you say it was good and pleasant when you all lived together in unity?
There were 9 of us, and I don't see my brother here today. So unity kind of rarely happened.
Okay, so that sounds right to me. Maybe this is an aspirational scripture verse. Now, this psalm is traditionally believed to have been written by King David. David's life was full of conflict. He fought with his father-in-law. His kids were terrible to each other, and he betrayed his colleagues. He hadn't experienced much unity firsthand either. So maybe he wrote this verse as a prayer, a hope for the future. Without much personal experience, though, David got a little metaphorical in the psalm, but in like the weirdest ways. He says it, kindred living together in unity,
is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes.
Oil on the head, in the beard, on your clothes. This is gross. Okay, anybody remember who Aaron was in Hebrew scripture? Lane, you're raising your hand. Moses' brother, very good. I had to call on Lane because he was very politely raising his hand. Moses put Aaron and his lineage in charge of the priesthood, in charge of the offerings to God, responsible for like worship, essentially. The ritual that Moses used to give Aaron this authority was anointing him with oil, essentially putting oil on his head. Throughout scripture, oil is used to mark someone for a special purpose or as a blessing. Now, fragrant, precious oil was valuable and special in a desert land. It would generally be used sparingly, but scripture says that Moses poured it on Aaron's head. And even though that sounds messy to us, it would have been a powerful display of extravagance. A blessing so important, you want it to soak into the skin and drip from the clothes. Now that's how David, someone who experienced a lot of conflict, felt about kin living together in unity. It's an extravagant blessing that stays with you. But he's got one more metaphor. He says, kindred living together in unity
is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained the blessing, life forevermore.
So Mount Hermon is a very high mountain in modern-day Lebanon. It is capped with snow, one of the few mountains in the region that is capped with snow, and the conditions in that area create a dew that pours down the sides of Mount Hermon, bringing life to the dry land beneath it, eventually filling the Jordan River. So kindred living together in unity is as refreshing, invigorating, and life-giving as water in a desert land. And that's the hope as we receive new members today.
These are our sacred songs. May we sing them with our lives.
Amen.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
No.
No. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Why don't you be able to stand up?
Okay, I'm projecting. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Lane, moderator, FCC Natick. Today, we welcome into the widening circle of this historic church a group of friends who desire to unite with us in spiritual fellowship. In becoming members of this congregation, they will share in the rights and responsibilities of this community. Their voices will be listened to, their hands will be put to work, and their hearts will be joined with ours.
Each person who elects to join this congregation does so for different reasons and encounters different blessings along the way. We may travel different paths, but here we decide to be companions for each other on those paths. Membership here is for those who believe that the spiritual quest is one that calls for and brings aliveness, requiring nurture, loving care, and support from the community of faith.
It is my joy to call forward these people who have decided to join us in covenant. Natasha M., Tim M., Karen M., Felix A., Simone G., Taylor P., Paul WB, and Cindy. Oh, who could that be? WB. Welcome. Friends, we celebrate with you the meaning of this commitment, which we now make. There is beauty when people come together to walk in one company. We are united here by the bonds of the Spirit, which earlier reached out to embrace others, and which now draw you in. You embark on a process of giving and receiving, of discovering and practicing life's meaning. Therefore, let us seal your act by covenanting together.
So I'm talking to the candidates now. Is this a place and a people with whom you will seek to make sense of the issues in your life, your faith, your dreams, of who you are and of who God is calling you to be? If so, please say it is.
It is.
Is it your wish to make this a place where you listen for the good news of God's love and grow in your relationship with the holy, learn from and act upon the lessons and way of Jesus, and where you are called to a life of ministry and justice in a community with these people and those to come? If so, please, please say it is.
It is.
Will you join with us as a community of faith as we seek to follow God's direction in our midst, endeavoring to express the love and welcome of Christ? And will you welcome and respect each person's journey of faith, trusting that our differences are a blessing? If so, please say, I will with God's help.
I will with God's help.
Over here now. will you participate in the life and mission of this diverse and inclusive community of God's people, praying and working with us in ministry together? Will you share regularly with us in the worship of God and financial support of our ministries? Will you offer your talents to our work as the Spirit leads us to serve the community and the world? If so, please say, I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
Here's what we really want to know. Will you wrestle with us? Will you forgive us? Will you bring casseroles when we are sick and celebrate our every joy? If so, please say, I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
Now to you. Will the congregation, both on-site and online, please stand as you are able and find your response in the bulletin and on the screens. Will you, the congregation, welcome these friends into the life of First Congregational Church of Natick? Let us speak our promise to do so with one voice.
We welcome you with joy into the membership of this congregation. We embrace your gifts, your needs, your dreams. We know your presence and participation will change the shape of this body and help it grow in new ways. We will support you in your journeys, affirm you in your ministries, and surround you with our compassion and care. We pray that all of us, united in faith and community, may grow in our knowledge of God and our love for one another.
You may be seated.
Let us join our hearts and our raised hands together to bless these newest members. O God of hospitality, we praise you for the opportunity to welcome new members among us today. We thank you for their life stories, their faith journeys, their diversity of gifts. May we who have been here a while be zealous in our willingness to listen and to learn. Make us open to revised visions and new perspectives. Help us to provide a nurturing environment for these new friends as we invite them into our church and into our lives. Enable us to take time for one another as we establish a shared faith and a common history. Bless us all, O God, as we worship together and seek to be your hands in a needy world. Amen. Welcome, newest members, to FCC Natick.
Today is the first day of Godly Play and Connect for the new program year. We're going to begin downstairs in the vestry, and we'll head there now, not all of us, as our newest members return to their seats.
Second reading this morning is by Danusha Lamaris. It's called Small Kindnesses. They write, I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, people pull in their legs to let you by. Or how strangers still say bless you when someone sneezes, a leftover from the bubonic plague. Don't die, we're saying. And sometimes when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help you pick them up. Mostly, we don't want to harm each other. We want to be handed our cup of coffee hot and to say thank you to the person handing it, to smile at them and for them to smile back, for the waitress to call us honey when she sets down the bowl of clam chowder, and for the driver in the red pickup to let us pass. We have so little of each other now, so far from tribe and fire. Only these brief moments of exchange. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy? These fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat. Go ahead, you first. I like your hat. Amen. Okay, so see, I know you're excited right now. You're like, ooh, 8 new members, 8 new friends, 8 new ministry team members, 8 new coffee hour hosts. I'm sorry, I have bad news for you. What you have here is 8 new problems. You know how a church meeting is finally wrapping up? It's late, you're tired, but you can see the finish line. Then somebody raises their hand and says, just one more thing. And they unleash a topic that's going to keep you on Zoom for another 45 minutes. That person just joined this church. You know the person who will never forget that you said you might be willing to chair the worship team in a few years when your youngest graduates from high school, and they email you a reminder the day after graduation? They joined today too. Another new member is that sweet, positive, upbeat soul who is always happy to sign up to help, but somehow never remembers to actually show up to help. Now, I am not pointing fingers or naming names. It's not like I know which of our new members falls into any of these categories, except Paul, my husband. I know all about Paul. But like many of you, I've been around churches for a while, and I know they are full of people. Beautiful, broken, beloved people. People who are working stuff out, people who are needy, people who are dysfunctional, people who are even toxic. They all show up to church. One of them announces they're moving away. Don't worry, someone else will step right up to take their place. If this is your first Sunday, you might be thinking, what is wrong with this place? But I'm really not saying I've seen any of this at FCC Natick or specifically in this group of 8 people who have just joined, but just that that's what it's like when there's people. There's the new member who says, Onward Christian Soldiers is the best hymn ever and we should sing it at least 6 times a year, right beside the new member who says, do that and I'll throw the hymnal out the window. And the new member you had over for coffee and you two really hit it off until you found out that they support a political candidate who goes against everything you believe in. Generally speaking, we don't even need 8 new members for anything I said to be true. Like scripture says, where 2 or more are gathered, they are fighting about something. Now, scripture actually says where 2 or more are gathered, the Spirit of God is witnessed and Jesus is there. But I think part of why the Spirit of God shows up when we gather is to try to help us deal with each other, amen? Now, maybe you're thinking, I've been in this church for years, and I've never been bothered by anybody. It doesn't mean that you're the problem. It really doesn't. But it is still a problem. If there isn't somebody sitting one pew over who's pushing your buttons, how are you going to practice compassion? If there's nothing happening here that you disagree with, how will you practice making space for others? If there is nobody here bugging you, how are you going to practice building the beloved community? The psalmist in this morning's psalm said, how good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Living together in unity doesn't just happen. It takes a ton of work, especially these days. Media, politicians, and an economic machine are lighting up our brains to create division, fear, and greed.
and religious communities can fall into the same trap. My colleague, Alan Hilton, warns us about Sunday morning silos. He writes, "Since so many of us have conveniently chosen the church that suits our politics, everyone leaves feeling righteous." I don't want us to leave this time feeling righteous. I want us to leave feeling just a little bit calmer in the face of the world's chaos. I want us to leave feeling slightly better equipped to listen to those we disagree with, not to change our minds or theirs, just listen. I want us to leave totally convinced that our political enemy is still a beloved child of God and get a glimpse of God as we see them, get a glimpse of them as God sees them, as broken and beautiful as any of us. I want us to leave committed to living out our values in the world while leaving just a little room for the possibility that we might not have all the answers. I want us to leave this time ready to create fleeting temples with those we meet by treating each other with compassion and respect. And I totally get that some days that's an awful lot to ask. That's why we practice here with each other, with our 8 new members and whoever else wanders in the door. If we can drink coffee and eat cake during coffee hour next to the person who interrupts us in team meetings, if we can listen to the preacher who says things we disagree with, if we can serve communion to the person who grates on our one nerve, maybe we can be just a little better prepared to be grounded in God's peace and love in a world full of chaos and conflict. So let's take a minute. Think of someone in this church who you've had conflict with, or disagree with, or who bugs you. If you can't think of anyone, or you're new here, think of me, because if I haven't disappointed you yet, I will. Okay. Got the person? Got the person in mind? I invite you to close your eyes. Picture their face. Breathe in and out. See them surrounded by a warm, glowing light. Say to them, "You are a beautiful and beloved child of God." Let's do it out loud. You are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Breathe again, in and out. You can open your eyes. As we go out into the world, maybe that's a practice we can take with us and get just a little closer to building the beloved community. Amen. This is a time we come together as a community of faith to share our joys and concerns, knowing that when we connect our hearts with God's presence, our joys are amplified and our concerns are reduced. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? I just have to say one of my joys is Karen S. is here. She's here for a work thing tomorrow. Sorry, many other people were going to say this joy, but I get to say it. She's here for a work thing tomorrow, so she came early so she could visit with us. Those of you who don't know Karen, she deserted us some months ago, and we're working on getting over it, but it's super good to see her today and give our love to Ken as well. Yeah, we are so glad that we welcomed another Karen in membership today, but we could handle two Karens. Lorraine. So this past Monday was one of FCC Natick's days at Open Door, coordinated by Kirsten. Fabulous meatloaf is what I understand, and delicious mashed potatoes made right here in the kitchen. And what's our, do you know offhand our next Open Door date? That was a mean question to ask you. November 25th is our next Open Door date. So if you'd like to learn more, see Kirsten. Thanks. Yeah, Sharon. Sharon is celebrating 8 new members. We'll see. Oh, no. Yes. So we are very lucky to have on staff someone who pays attention not just to all the programming for our young people, but also worship arts. You see this in the slides every week, and you see this in elements around the sanctuary. This is Sarah Lynn. So the mobiles that we always have up here are created sometimes by Sarah Lynn with the youth group, sometimes with Sunday school. And what she does is once they've created them, she stores them so we can pull them out another time. So I believe this mobile here was created during COVID, and it's such a delight to have it back up. You can look, there's beautiful words that relate to beloved community on all the paint sticks hanging there. Thanks, Jeff. Mark, do you have any joys up there?
No joy up here.
Okay. Declan? Joy is the courage that Declan has shown in the face of medical necessity. Courage is not being bothered by a shot, it's being bothered by a shot and getting it anyway. So we are super proud that Declan was able to get the shots that he needed, and we know that they are doing their work. Good job, Declan. Did I miss another joy down here? Lane. I think we need to name names, but. Okay. So the real hero in this story is Lane, just so everybody knows. So Kirsten has been doing an amazing job working with migrants living at Hartford Street Church. She is helping them with paperwork, with meals. Yesterday she took them to the movies. And then there was a problem with the car. We're not going to blame anybody. And so they had to call AAA and Uber. Everybody got home. Lane fed everybody. But also huge thanks to Kirsten for the work that she is doing with migrants in our community. I know she's shaking her head. She doesn't want that. But you know, the real thank you would be to Joyner. Other joys that I... Sue M. isn't here today, but she had surgery on Monday, and it went well. So I wanted to tell you that. I'm sorry, Mark, are you snapping at me?
Oh, hi, Cindy.
Hi, Randy.
So I have a brief joy. My joy is that Matt is up here helping me run audio today. But as a shameless plug, if anybody else would like to help up here in the Crow's Nest, please see me at coffee hour.
It is awesome to see Abby up there working things in the Crow's Nest. It is a great place to hang out. I can't see you most of the time, so I don't know what you're doing. So if you would like to learn about working in the Crow's Nest, see Randy during coffee hour. Yeah. Dee Dee. Dee Dee has a trifecta of good news. Last week, we were praying for her mom, who's living with diabetes, and it's just been really complicated, and she lives far away. Now, so first of all, Dee Dee's mom was willing to move, found a place to move that will take the dog. She put on a deposit, and she's moving in November. That's a, I don't know how many fecta that is, but that is a joy. Thanks, Dee Dee. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Yeah, Kat. You may segue from a joy into a concern. Yes, the floor recognizes Kat. So Kat is lifting up the joy of Heather, Bob, and Grace, who really are a great extended family for Kat and Michelle and their kids, and I know they get just as much joy from it, Kat. The brother of Kat's sister's friend, no, the husband of Kat's sister's friend died at 38 years old, a month after being diagnosed with colon cancer. And a loss that sudden and that young ripples through not just the closest people, but everybody. So prayers for, do you know his name, Kat?
TJ.
So prayers of gratitude for TJ's life and for all of those who have been impacted by his loss. Thanks, Kat. Randy. Randall, excellent plan. Are you able to share his first name?
Chris.
We have prayers of both concern and gratitude for Chris, who was experiencing flu-like symptoms. His wife made him go to the ER. Turns out he was having a heart attack. They put in a stent. He's home. He's better. But still, what a tumultuous experience. And Randall says the message is to listen to your wife. So. Amen, right. Today is the last day that the Opioid Project is hanging in the sanctuary. It's going to come down this afternoon, so this is your last chance this year to go around and look at the art there. And Jeff is sharing that one of the people that helped with mashed potatoes was looking through the sanctuary and realized that one of the pieces of art was done in response to their cousin's death. And so Jeff is lifting that up as an awareness of how many people are impacted by the opioid crisis, which is real and powerful, and also grateful that there was a bit of sanctuary in this moment, in this place, for that person to know that a group that doesn't care, that doesn't know his cousin, cares about him. Yeah, thanks. I just want to say, I'm going to go over an hour. I'm really sorry, but there's cake. Folks on site, folks at home, feel free to go get cake anytime you need it. Let us. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, Mark. Is there a concern?
We have one in from Christine Wells. She says, please keep my oldest brother and best friend, Tom, in your prayers. He just underwent surgery.
So this is Christine Weddle's brother, Tom, who she also describes as her best friend, who is experiencing bleeding in the brain. Doctors have operated. We'll reach out to Christine and see what's going on and what we can do to help, but we hold Tom in our prayers. Thanks, Mark. And I'm sorry, Mark, anything else up there? Let us pray. O God, who has been with us since the first moment and will be with us at the last, we know we don't have to say a prayer aloud for you to be involved in whatever we're worried about. You're there before, not just before the words cross our lips, but before the thought crosses our brain. And we ask that part of where you show up is in us so that we know how to be present to each other, how to stay close to each other, how to show up when each other is hurting, and also how to shine a light in places of peace and joy. In this place, in this room, online, around the world, there are so many places, so many people who are seeking to be just a bigger glimpse of you, seeking to bring peace and hope. May we feel connected to them this morning. May they feel connected to each other, that the beloved community might grow and grow and surround us all. Amen. Each child should have enough diapers to be clean, dry, and healthy. That's the mission statement of the Diaper Project at A Place to Turn in Natick, which provides families in financial distress with up to 1 week of diapers every 30 days. According to the Diaper Project, there are 3,000 families in Natick and Framingham alone who struggle to buy diapers. 3,000 in just those two towns. WIC and food stamps do not cover the cost of diapers, so a family needs to find up to $100 a month per child to purchase diapers. For some families, this means deciding between food, medicine, and clean babies. Parents are forced to reuse diapers or leave their child in a soiled diaper longer than appropriate. And without a supply of diapers, babies cannot attend daycare or early childhood programs. With just that bit of info, we are all ready for Diaper Awareness Week, which is coming up this week. And with the donations we've been collecting the last few weeks, local parents will be able to care for their children. Some of the diapers on the dais this morning were purchased with funds from the outreach budget, which means even if you didn't get a chance to bring in diapers yourself, you are still part of this effort. So please join me in blessing the diapers as well as the children who will wear them. Swaddler God, bless these diapers, not just plastic and elastic and gel, but comfort and compassion and care. Bless the families stretched so thin, so worried about the basics. May they feel our presence beside them, surrounding them with support. Bless the children, glimpses of you in the world, who deserve to be fed and housed and dry. May they sense our commitment to a world of justice. Stay by our side, God of love, as we work toward the beloved community. Amen. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, we do so with gratitude for all the generosity that makes our outreach ministry possible. Folks in person, we will pass the plates to each other up and down the row as a sign of a connection to each other and the families we are helping.
abundance, bless these gifts, and especially the hands that have given them, that they might know the ways in which they are doing your work in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 485, Bless Now, O God, the Journey. In peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord. Rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.